Desire your prayers this morning. Need the Lord's help today. I appreciate all the good testimonies and everything the Lord has done for us. Thought about what Paul said, I have begotten you through the gospel. That is where we are changed. That is where we are made new, is through the gospel. The gospel changes people. So if you would bear with me for a few moments here, I would desire your prayers that the Lord would help us today. I'd like to talk to us about being led by the Spirit of God this morning. Starting in the book of Romans, the 8th chapter and the 14th verse, and it says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." How important is it today to be led by the Spirit of God? Amen. What does that mean to you today, to be led by the Spirit? I think having the Spirit of God to lead us is one of the greatest challenges. It's one of the greatest blessings. It's one of the most important things of our life, from selecting a companion, buying a home, moving, taking care of problem children, taking giving the Lord leeway in our life to work with us. It's very important. How many failures this morning can be traced back to this one simple thing of being led by the Spirit of God? How many things can be traced back? I certainly am not standing here in front of you this morning with a record that is completely clean, and of all, I could always tell you that in everything that I was led by the Spirit of God. I don't believe any of us really could say that, but I feel like that we are dependent on the Lord. He's taught us a few things, and 40 some years He's been able to lead us in different ways, and I'm depending on Him to help us today. I believe that if anything the church needs this morning is the infilling of the Spirit of God. There, so many things get so confused, and there's so many different needs and so many requests, but I know one thing, that we need the leadings of the Spirit of God working in our life, working in our midst, working in our congregations. And how you come to that point, sometimes there's a lot of different challenges. I'm thinking about being pliable this morning, being workable, being teachable, being a person that you can open up the avenue and God can speak to your heart. He can work through you and help you. I had a situation that come about one time. I want to tell you a story. You might say that's a lot of what you do is tell stories. Well, I've got a lot of stories. I've got a lot of things that I want to share. There's things that God has done, and I want to give Him the glory for what He does. One time, a few years ago, a friend of mine asked me to go take care of a problem at a little restaurant that some folks that worked for him, and it's kind of a long story, but he wanted me to go down to this little town not far away and fix a freezer. And so I made my way, went down there, met the person, the lady that owned the place, and I got the little freezer fixed. And then she started crying. And there was something else that she wanted me to fix. And I got that fixed. And the Lord spoke to me, I didn't send you down here to fix things. And I found out that the real reason I was there is because this woman and her husband, which was the mayor of the city, were going through some very difficult times. I'll make the story shortened. He came in a little while later, and they were closed that day, and the Lord impressed me to talk to him real straight. And I did. I said, listen, you all need to get yourselves in line because you got problems. And I offered them money to come up here in Missouri and go to a place. And they said, listen, we would kill each other if we did that. And the conversation, I began to get more pointed. And I told them, you need to get things right. You two have got children. You need to get things straightened up. And he looked over her one time. These people kept coming in the door. And they, just the time I would begin to get something close and the Lord was working with them, somebody bust through the door. And then he'd stop and go, no, we're close. And over this happened. And finally, the next one that came through the door said, we're close today. And he looked in here and he said, who is that man? She said, I don't know. I don't know who he is. But I felt impressed to talk to them about the Lord. My advice went unheeded. 1 month approximately later, the newspapers came out, and the mayor of this town had got in a wrong relationship with a young girl. And it was all over the news. So, I went to jail on Monday. I can't remember at that time if it was going on Mondays or Fridays, but I went in jail, and I went in a certain pod where they have the sex offenders, and I looked up on the upper level, and here was this man. You see, 1 month ago that I was trying to convince, and now he's behind bars. Do you understand this morning how important it is? The words of a wise man, he said, are heard in quiet more than the cry of him that rules among fools. You all see this morning how things can get out of hand so quick. And if we look back, we might recognize, oh, that was a message I heard at Monarch. Or the Lord dealt with me in this certain area and I didn't listen to what was said. I missed something. It's critical for us this morning. You might think, hey, what can you tell me? What can you say that I don't already know? I don't say that I have the answer to everything, but I know God's little vessels are here today, and there's people that can direct you and point you to places. Listen to them. How many times things are covered up through hypocrisy? How many things are covered and people want to keep swept under the carpet. I hope nobody finds out about that. You know, having an access sometimes to records, you can look in and pull up a person's file and you can find all kinds of things. You know, we're living in a time where any one of us here today, not just me, you can pull up people's files and find out where they have been arrested and what they've done, what's been going on in their life. You can find that out. I want to tell you this morning, my heart trembles when I think of the decisions sometimes we have to make and how flippantly we can do away with those. It don't matter. That's old Bell. That's old Bell over there again. That's old Adams. That's Adam, that's Williamson, that's Smith, that's Gillenbeck. And we go on our merry way and we want God to bless us. Oh yeah, we want Him to bless, we want Him to have His way with us in life, folks. And we've missed some little checks in life, the little things. I remember Brother Leslie telling about a watermelon one time, a big juicy watermelon had been out in the hot sun, and the Lord was so merciful and said, don't cut that. Oh, it's a watermelon. blew up. It just blew up. How many things can happen to us? I think of Brother Richard Madden was at an intersection one time, and the West Sun was at a four-way stop. And he came to that intersection, he stopped, and the person that was coming and facing the west didn't do so. The Lord spoke to him, "You stop." How does he do that? Are we tuned in this morning to hear the voice of God? How many stops have we overrun? How many times will it take before God puts a check on us? And before he puts the brakes on us, you can't do that anymore. Stop. Stop. The scripture here says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." Could you look with me over in the book, the Old Testament? I'm going to look here. This has been burning on my heart. The book of 1 Chronicles, the 14th chapter. Let me tell you, troubles start when we are not sensitive to God's voice. I'm going to do a little reading. Bear with me. "Now Hiram, king of Tyre, sent messengers to David in timbers of cedars with masons, carpenters to build him a house. And David perceived the Lord had confirmed him king over Israel, for his kingdom was lifted up on high because of his people Israel. David took more wives at Jerusalem," and maybe I'll skip all that. And down here in the 8th verse, "And when the Philistines heard that David was anointed king over all Israel, all the Philistines went up to seek David. And David heard of it and went out against them. And the Philistines came and spread themselves in the valley of Rephaim. And David inquired of God, saying, 'Shall I go up against the Philistines? And wilt thou deliver them into my hand?' And the Lord said unto him, 'Go up, for I will deliver them into thine hand.'" Close the book. The Philistines are here, and I'm God's anointed. Go up. How many times do you think in his mind these words, "go up," came to him? Go up. He may have went to his men and said, "Men, God has told us, go up. Go up." And here we go. And what a defeat it was. It was a great defeat that day. There was such an overthrow of the enemy that it was great. But what if we stop there? I just close the book and say, every time the Philistines come, the word of God is this. Would it not be true what I'm telling you? Would it not be true? Go up! Would that not be the catch word? And would that not be the very thing that people were needing to hear? Go up! Go up! What are you waiting for? Go up! But what happened here? Oh, wait a minute. Maybe we need to stop. Hold on just a minute. I've got this call to preach and got to go up. I've got this call. I'm supposed to do that. Go up. Right. Go up. Right. Where's that going to end at, folks? Listen. It said, "So they came to Baal Perazim, and David smote them there. And David said, 'God hath broken in upon mine enemies by my hand like the breaking forth of waters.' Therefore they called the name of that place Baal Perazim. And when they had left their gods there, David gave a commandment, and they were burned with fire. And the Philistines yet again spread themselves abroad in the valley." Second battle. Total different situation. The words "go up" now is not going to be the same. And here is the difference. This is our making or breaking point. This is the making or breaking point of every one of us. Do I go by the same words that I heard the first time? Go up. It's the Philistines. Go up. Go up. Do I charge them and do I head in that same direction that I always have? Go up. It's going to be a breaking forth again. You're going to win. It's going to be victory, victory. Oh, here is a man that is teaching us a lesson today. How do we share this? How do we impart this? How do we divide this the right? Is God really saying the same thing over and over? Is it possible that He wants us to wait? You see, there's times that God knows that every one of us can go. That's not a problem. Most people, they'll jump at the gun just about any little opportunity. Praise the Lord, it's time to go. It's time. We're going to get them. Let's go get them. But how many people can wait? How many people can stop and inquire of God, Lord, is this the way you want me to do this time? It's the difference between being led by the Spirit of God and getting ourselves into some big trouble. Folks, when we begin to look and try to steady situations, when we begin to try to put matters in our own hands, we're asking for trouble. We're asking for discouragement. We're asking for things that's going to happen to us in life that is going to disappoint us. It's going to discourage us. Be careful. Be careful. Because listen, the second instruction from God was totally different. It was the same people. It was the same problems. They've come against me. Here they are, Lord. And I'm still reverberating in my mind that word, go up. It's just going on and on in my mind. Go up, go up, go up. But here's a man that is sensitive to the Spirit of God. And he's looking and he's seeing, wait a minute, is there an entrapment here that I'm not aware of? Don't you know the enemy of our souls this morning is acquainted with our ways of worship? Don't you know that the spirit, the enemy is acquainted with how we do things? And don't you know he'll take advantage of us if he can? We're going to do this same thing over and over. We're going to have the same methods. We're going to do everything just the same. Wouldn't it be nice sometimes if the Spirit of God could break in upon us and our methods, and he could come in and do something with us? He could come in and do something that is inspiring. He could come in and do something with us that would change our life, would help us to see that in his dealings with us in life, he wants us to be sensitive to his Spirit that is leading us. Be careful. The Lord said unto him, go not up after them. And there's a lot of people question that. Lord, you told me last time, go up. And now you're saying, go not up. I don't understand the Spirit of God. I don't understand His voice. I just can't figure it out. There's some things we don't need to figure out. There's some things we need to rely on God to help us, to support us, to come by our way and show us you're getting so accustomed to doing this. You're getting so used to this. I want you to be dependent upon me. I want to take things that are completely out of order for you, and I want to show you that I can work in the midst of all the things that's going on around. I can show you that I will help you make sense out of nonsense. I want to show you that I can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that you can ask or think. Folks, if the Spirit of God is not able to work with us, we're in the flesh. We're living in the flesh. And when you live in the flesh, that carnal life likes mundane. The carnal life likes the easy street. The carnal life likes, I believe I'm just going to keep going just like I'm going. How many times have I heard in my lifetime, the Lord has showed me I need to stop teaching Sunday school. Think about it for a moment. The Lord has showed me. Now, which do you think racks up the most points? The Lord has showed me to teach, stop teaching Sunday, or the Lord has told me to stop, to start teaching Sunday school. Ah, yes, you've got it. Sometimes the Lord is put so far back in our lives. You see, if we can keep going on without the aid of the Spirit, if we can keep following our ways, if we can keep doing the things we're comfortable with, we're okay. That's the way they've always done it. That's the way they've always done it. Well, sure it is. But how did God work with a man named David? And he told him, go not up. This is not the same, David. Learn, this is not the same. I see this as God trying his best to get his church to moving. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. It is when you and I come out of our normal walk and our normal doings of things and our carnal ways and begin to rely on the Spirit of God to help us that we really learn to hear the voice of God. Without this sensitiveness, without this working in our life, we're no better than anybody else. We don't have anything different than anybody. We can, listen, mechanically, we can get these songs and we can sing them. We can get the right melody. We can get the right harmony. We can sing for 30 minutes. We can sing 5 songs. We can sing 10, whatever. Remember, folks, this is all stuff the world can do. It is only when the Spirit of God comes down and He anoints the singing and He gives. And I do appreciate I feel sorry for our song leaders sometimes. You know, it's 2:56. Oh, 1:20, 4:20. And he's, I can't keep up with it. Wouldn't it, I mean, our favorite songs. Wouldn't it be better if the Spirit of the Lord helped and He would select songs that God had inspired us rather than just going through and singing songs, but there would be this anointing, there would be this something that come down from above into our hearts and we just wouldn't follow a form. Singing in the Spirit and singing with the understanding also is so necessary for us. It's not enough to keep on. We have to be led by the Spirit of God in everything we do. May the Lord help us this morning. I don't know if you feel the challenge, but when I read this, I see how a whole battle was decided by one man seeking God. He said, go not up after them. Wow, that's a change. Hey, men. Hey, guys, I wanted to tell you, this ain't the way we're going to do it this time. No, hold on here. Wait a minute. I know we did. I know there was a lot of good things happened last time, but this time it's going to be different. Well, David, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to follow what the Lord said do. Now listen this morning, if anything throws people in slippery places, it's when you get off of the beaten path. And I want to tell you something. You all need to go to, it's too late now, should have rode to Mexico with my father-in-law. When he's in the United States, I was a nervous wreck. When he gets over into Mexico, Oh, I could relax. And it wouldn't matter if he's dodging around, turning. Dad, where'd you find? Worry about it. I know where I'm going. He would find people in places. And with most people, it'd be, what time are we going to get there? I don't know. How long are we going to? No, we'll be there. Make you a nervous wreck. But you know, whenever you begin to see how the Lord aided him and helped him, it was really wonderful. And I'm saying what I am this morning, not because it's popular and not because it's something you like to hear. And you're thinking, I'm all for order. I tell you, we have to have order. If we don't have order, it's chaos. I believe in order too. And I get comfortable sometimes when order is so orderly. I just want, folks, this morning, the Spirit of God. I don't want chaos. That's not what I'm talking. Let's just throw everything in chaos. Let's have the preaching last or the preaching first. Let's change, but the preaching first. If we had the preaching first, then those folks that when it gets around 10:30 at night, you know, they want to get up and keep singing. They might slow down a little bit. That'll stop the problem. We'll choke this thing down. No, the problem is whenever we try to put our hands on things, the organizational machinery of the world, it controls, it puts limits. God has a way, dear ones. I believe, and this is what I want more than anything at all, is for us to be led by the Spirit of God in everything we do. Just because we come to camp meeting, just because we're here, we think it's free range. Nobody knows me. I can do just about anything I want. I mean, they don't know what I'm doing back at home. They don't know my struggles I'm having at home. And I can get up and I can just sing, I can preach, and nobody knows I'm not getting along with the pastor. Oh my, you shouldn't have said that. You're in trouble. You're in trouble. I know. If we're not getting along at home, how can we get along? If you think this is just free reign, we can just come and any kind of life, I mean, anything we're doing, it's okay. I'm just obeying the Spirit of the Lord. And everybody's freelancing. In other words, we're just doing our own thing. And if it fits in fine, if it don't, that's fine too. Because I'm just obeying the Lord. I have people say, well, don't you think I'm able to understand the voice of the Lord too? You know, the real test, folks, when we come together in these camp meetings is getting along. It's flowing together. It's working together with each other. It's not getting ahead of the Spirit of God. It is working together, loving each other, and appreciating each other. Here he said, go not up after them. I want you to come up upon them over against the mulberry trees. And it shall be when thou shalt hear a sound of going in the tops of the mulberry trees, that then thou shalt go out to battle. For God has gone forth before thee to smite the host of the Philistines. I believe this morning, if we have God going before us, nothing will be able to stand. If we have the attitude, go up. Don't you all remember? God said that to us, go up. Don't you remember? Can't you still hear that? What I can hear is the wisdom of being led by the Spirit of God. I'm thinking of victory this morning. I'm thinking that unless we put ourselves into God's hands and let Him work with us and speak to us, we're going to be nothing but fleshly people. I want to walk in the Spirit. I want to obey His voice. What happened when they got there and they were still, and they began to look, the going, it said a sound of going. This morning, can you hear a sound of going in your life? Have we been truly led by God and things that we're doing? I'm thinking, and I've told this story before, I'm getting older and there's things I know. I repeat, my wife, my children, all of them tell me, Dad, I've heard that before. Okay, James, you preached that before. Everybody's getting tired of that. But I'm going to tell you, there's some things that stand out in my mind as monuments. We were looking for some folks in Russia. We did not know where we were going. And we asked directions from a drunk man. And a drunk man is copying this. And he was, to look at his scratch, and I couldn't make heads or tails. But we struck out, and there was a couple that went with us. They were from Alaska. We was in Moscow. And we were looking for this place. And I told them before, I'm interested in finding some of the people that not worship in government churches, but people that worship in their homes and things. And they said, we know some folks. They knew some people. And so there was two women teachers. There was another couple from Alaska. There was my wife and I. There was six of us that started out. We got up early Sunday morning. In our journey, we went on a train. We went in all kinds of transportation. We got on a subway finally. And as we were seated there, right across from us was a man reading his Bible. My wife said, look, he's reading his Bible. So I went over and I said, that's a good book. And he said, yes, it is. And I got to talking to him and I said, we're trying to find a place here. Do you know where this is at? And he looked at me and said, that's where I'm going. I'm going there. 14 million people. The chances of sitting down right across the aisle from a person that is going to the place you want to go. And when we got there, that place was packed. And the pastor came and greeted us like we was just old friends. I want to tell you this morning, there is no substitute for being led by the Spirit of God. There is no substitute. There is no way that we can put together the importance and of keeping things in tune and in track. It's so important to us today. I have a question wrote down. No one is really equipped to work simply because we have some teachings. The basic question is still, what kind of man is he? Can one whose inner workings are wrong but whose teaching is right supply the needs of the church? That last part I want you to think about. Can one whose teachings are right but inner workings are wrong supply the needs of the church? That's the question. Is it possible? We can have the right teachings, but the supplying the needs of the church, taking care and making certain that things are being delivered and they're being carried on in the spirit of unity, the spirit of harmony, the correct interpretation of the word. Can it be? It's so important to us this morning. The answer to that is no. There is no way, even if our teaching is right, but our inner workings are wrong. I can look up and say, oh, there's such a need for preachers. I believe I'm going to become one. That's what I want to do. I want to begin to preach. And I am not at all trying to discourage anyone from preaching. The Lord knows we need all the young ministers we can. But here is the key, my dear friend. You have to have the Spirit of God, because there are times that you are in your flesh. You're not going to want to do something. You're not going to want. It's going to be against. There's going to be people that tell you, I don't believe I'd do that. I had one minister come to me, and he was so against us moving to Springfield. He said, you don't know what you're getting into. You don't know what's going to happen to you. Do you know that one of the preachers that went there almost starved to death? And the very time we was about to leave, it was brother, well, most of you wouldn't even know him anyway, but he came to me and fingers were very crooked. Put his hands together and he looked at me and he had these beady eyes that can look right through you. He said, do you really think that God is calling you to go to Springfield? He looked at me and I said, yes, sir, I do. He said, okay, that's all I got to say. That's it. I'm going to tell you, there are decisions that we make that is not going to be the most logical. It certainly won't be the most comfortable thing. But if God is in it, if God be for us, who can be against us? This is the success of the church of God moving forward today. And if you're in the slightest bit interested in it going forward, here is the key. Being led by the Spirit of God. This is the key. And folks, I want to tell you, that is what will support you whenever everything else goes wrong. It is having that knowledge that God sent me here. It's having that comfort. The Lord had His way in this. He was directing us. He was guiding us. Things didn't may not appear too good at first, but I want to tell you, just be true to God and He will lead you and guide you. What is He speaking to you in this meeting? Is there anything, any signal that you've heard that's gone out and you think, I can't do it? Let's go to the next station. I want to tune in to the next station. I can't wait to hear what the next preacher will say. I've seen that and how God works different times to different ministers. But here's the thing. This channel will always be there. You can tune into another one, but this channel will always be there. It's not going to leave. This channel of being led by the Spirit of God will constantly be sending signals out to people everywhere. Be led by the Spirit of God. Be directed by the Spirit of God. When I choose a song, when I pray. And folks, there's been a little bit, let's work on our leading out in prayer and say, well, the Lord just never says anything. I'm embarrassed. No, this is talking to men now. Men, please. Surely we can pray in church. Surely we can pray in church. Surely we can have something to say. May God help us today. I believe the Lord has a way of leading us and guiding us like no other. There is no substitute. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I was thinking, I won't go there, I know we're running out of time, but Gideon and his army started off with 32,000 people. 32,000 that went after, that was going out, and here it looked like Gideon had started a real revolution. There was something really going on. But you know, the Lord said, there's just too many of you. Gideon, go out there and tell them, those of you that are fearful and afraid, why don't you go home and sit with Mama? There's a good couch waiting for you at home. Go ahead. Well, I can hear him say, men, there's just too many, you know, appreciate your volunteering, but why don't you all just, if you're a little bit afraid of what we're going to do here, go on home. Yeah. Cook you up some food a little bit. Just kind of take it easy. Pray for us, but we got some work to do. And then the rest of them, 20-some thousand, he sent home. And he said, Gideon, there's still too many of them. Yeah. We whittled it down to 10,000. There are just too many. This whittling process is something very real. We need men and women who are led by the Spirit of God. Men and women that are not afraid. Men and women that are willing. Not just to do a little bit. I mean, consecrate part, but go all the way. It got down to 300 men. And here was the requirements. You got to be able to blow the horn and say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. Now, if you would put that on a job application, here's all your requirements. Take a deep breath. You've got to be able to blow the horn. And you've got to be able to say the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. That was a requirement. You might think, so that's foolishness. But I'm going to tell you, by that foolishness, God was able to do great things with the people. Carnal methods will bring carnal results. In our fleshly thinking, it's better to do it this way. Don't you understand it's better? We've done this. It's worked for us different times. Do you not remember? We've heard the word go up before. Don't you see? We can do it again. I can also, the past 40-some years, take you to some shipwrecks. Would you like to go with me? Would you like to see some of the shipwrecks today? There are some that is very devastating. It's basically boils down to this. It's being led by the Spirit of God. Humility. Letting God work through us. Letting God direct us. We need Him so much today, folks. Gideon realized his need. And he said, Lord, whatever you want, I'm going to be willing to do. And I believe this morning for us, it doesn't matter how old you are or young you are, I believe the Lord wants to make a success out of all of our lives. It's not just for the ministry. It's being on time. How many stories have we heard of people that prayed and, Lord, I want you to help. Send somebody here to help me. I remember one time at Guthrie meeting, Brother John Busby was driving his Jeep and he had a seizure and he run off the road and he crashed into this building there in Guthrie and didn't know anything about it. We come by and I drove by and I said, oh, that looks like John's Jeep. That's John's. And I circled the block and came back around. And I got to the door of the ambulance. Then this man said, I just wish there was somebody. Somebody knew this man. I said, I know him. I know him. Being on time, being in tune, it's so important for us. Folks, today, because I want to see. When I'm gone, I want to continue seeing people led by the Spirit of the Lord. I want to see people like David that was courageous and he knew he'd spend enough time by himself. He'd spent enough time in the deserts that Goliath was ready for him. Goliath was ready for the rock. That's the way you look at it. It wasn't David ready for Goliath. Goliath was ready for the rock now. There's going to be a big change because I've faced the lion and the bear and this big old guy, he's not imagined. His head may have been that big around David's corpse. I've hit smaller targets than that. 5 stones. 5. And he took those 5 in anticipation, in my mind, that all of his brothers and all of his sons and everybody else, the Bible speaks about the 5 giants. David had 5 smooth stones. He's ready for all of them. But it wasn't in his own strength. He said, I come to you in the name of the Lord. I come here in the name of the Lord. And that is what makes the difference. You see, our cutting edge is not this. The cutting edge we have is what is behind us. If we don't have that behind us, supporting us, we'll make big mistakes. May God help us today. Having that Spirit in it keeps our homes together. Don't you see, without the Spirit of God, it's like you running out of oil. You'll start bickering with one another. There'll be quarrels. There'll be all kinds of things come up. It's because we've run out of something. If we ever run out of it in the church, we'll splinter. We'll be divided. If we ever lose this part, we lose it all. I pray that the Lord will help us today. I have a burden on my heart that God would help his little flock to maintain. And not only just maintain, but go forth conquering and to conquer. That reputation of conquering is still available to us. The potential to conquer is still with us as long as we have the Spirit of God. But if we lose that, we don't have anything left. We will come up with some kind of man-made plan to bridge over our deficiency. We'll come up and hatch up something that really won't work. Remember the scripture, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God.